And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is May 26, 2019, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a big day ahead of us here on WWGH Radio because this is the official day of the big Bowl-O-Rama 2019, first ever Bowl-O-Rama. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen here later on today. We are going to have the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, heading over to Blue Fusion here in Marion, who's going to go one-on-one in the first Bowl-O-Rama with our very own Weasel Boy, former WNCI radio personality, who's on every Saturday morning here, 7:10 to 10 a.m. on WWGH Radio. Now, it is my understanding that these two men have never met in person ever, both being big time deals in the Columbus radio market, and also certainly have never bowled each other, and I've never seen either one of them bowl each other. So today's going to be, give it to us, Ted.
I pity the weasel when he comes to that Bowl-O-Rama.
Now, it's going to be Bowl-O-Rama today. How confident are you in your bowling skills?
I think I can take him.
You can take him?
I think I can take him. Now, here's the situation. First of all, I want to say happy Memorial Day to the staff here that's right in this studio, and to my dear friend David Jones, but also to the city of Marion, happy Memorial Day.
Absolutely.
Now, back to Weasel.
Your bowling skills, where are they?
Well, you know, back in the day, I have to say, I came up in a bowling family. My family did bowl. I was pretty good back in the day. I had an average of 185, 200.
Really?
Yeah. I was
that good?
A hell of a bowler. That's back in Dick Weber's day and all of those guys, you know. But I don't know, Scott. It's going to be a very interesting situation. I may get ready to roll the ball and get to the foul line and just fold up like an accordion.
Now, how many years has it been since you were in a bowling alley and threw the ball?
Is that long enough? No. It's been a while. I have to say over 10 years.
Really? 10 years?
10 years since I picked up a ball. You know, I had a herniated lower disc. My L5-S1, if that makes any sense to many people, it herniated. I never had one of those fusions done. So I got a bad lower back. And I was always fearful because I used to roll a 14-pound ball. And I wasn't good enough. I mean, I wasn't big enough to go with the 16. But, it's been about over 10 years.
Really? Over 10 years. So this will be an epic day.
Oh, without a doubt.
For Bowl-O-Rama.
And thanks to you, of course, I'm finding heads up the day of.
Now, see, I thought you were filled in on this before.
No, absolutely. Well, I was filled in as far as the event itself and the appearance and all, but not that I was going to compete in any.
Well, this is going to be, you know, you talk about viral video sensation. This is going to be the
this
one.
This is going to be the one, right.
This is going to be the one for 2019, right?
I thought maybe you'd had Terry and Sean doing something like that.
Well, Terry will be there announcing with me because we want to see who's going to win this thing. Now, see, I don't know if Weasel's an avid bowler at all either.
Okay.
So you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, but he does know of it.
He knows it's going to happen. Oh, sure.
That'd be very interesting.
Yeah, I think he found out Friday.
We want everybody in Marion to come on out and cheer us on. Your favorite, Weasel, former WNCI Morning Zoo person, or the man with the God-given golden voice.
Now, Ivy, are you a competitive person, Ted?
You know what? I'm not a sore loser, if that makes any sense as well. But, yeah, I like to compete.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And you like to win.
Yes, I like to win, definitely.
Well, today could be the day because, to be honest with you,
I'm a good sportsman.
I've been around this weasel, and I think he can be taken.
All right. Your station manager has said you're done.
I feel that he could be taken, and I feel it might not go well. So, but that's the way it'll go. And we'll go that way, and everything will be fine.
Now, AMF lanes, I'm sure. You called it the Fusion. Why is it called Fusion?
It's called Blue Fusion.
Oh, Blue Fusion.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one of them psychedelic bowling. You know, because now they've got all kind of bowling alleys where they bowl in the total darkness and, you know, bumper lanes and so forth. Bumper bowling.
Now, this would be all on Terry. We'll get him in here in a second because he is very familiar with the Blue Fusion building. Now, I have not been there for quite some time.
But, you know, in Columbus, they've got Star Lanes out there in Polaris, and then they've got the Columbus Bowling Palace. And everybody tries to make it more family-friendly and all of those things, you know, psychedelic lights and, you know, Bowling is fun.
Bowling is fun. Now, we're going to bring Terry in here.
Terry.
Get his microphone up because he has spent a lot of time at the Blue Fusion. As a matter of fact, he has set up Bowl-Rama 2019. Right, Terry?
Yep.
All right. So tell us about the Blue Fusion.
It's a combination, like Ted said, it's a combination of games and family-oriented things. And then on the other side is a bowling center. They have a full-service restaurant in there. And
now, what's your prediction on today's bowling match?
I'm anxious to see. I mean, I'm anxious to see what see if Ted can deliver on what he says here. So he says he's a 185 to 200 average bowler. So I want to.
Now, in the bowling world, where does that stand? You've watched bowling. Yeah. You've bowled. Been around bowling.
Well, 200's great average. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's about 40 years ago.
I mean, that's.
Well, we're going to bring it back today.
Anything from 175 and above is really, really good.
Hey, I have a little. I don't know whether you'd call it a. What is it called? anyway, I got a trick that I want to see if it works. Okay, listeners, do we have any giveaways by any chance?
I don't think we do today.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking, listeners, I want all of our listeners out there. I know a guy that bowled a 301. Now, for those that don't know very much about bowling, 300 is a perfect game. I know a guy that bowled a 301, and he did not have any extra frames. Can you tell me how that is possible?
740-383-9944. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah.
The only thing that I can think of is that maybe he might have gotten one pin handicap and then bowled a 300.
Is that right? No. That's not right.
Yeah, I'll tell you the answer. I tell you what, it's been pulled on me. Oh, okay. Is Sean going to?
I don't think he'll weigh in on that one, but.
Okay. It's a 301 with no extra frames. And then we'll give our callers a few minutes or so. I'm not going to prolong it. What do you call those when you have those little quick?
It's off.
It's something I'm trying to think of. Anyway. I'm going to give up the answer because I don't see the phones ringing, but I want to tell you this. Have you ever heard of anybody bowling a 300 and losing?
No.
No.
So the thing is 301, W-O-N.
Oh, there you go. Well, that makes
Ted
perfect
Williams
sense.
Ted Williams with you.
All right, there you are.
Yeah.
Now, Ted, being here on the eve of Memorial Day, now you're a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your experience with the military. How did it all begin?
1975, Brooklyn, New York. Fort Hamilton is the location. I had a situation where I didn't want to go to school anymore. And the only way in my household, you got to finish school. So the Army had a program that if you had your mother's permission and you were in the 11th grade or 12th grade, and you didn't want to complete it, you could go in and finish school. So I finished school in the United States Army. Also went to college in the Army. But my dad, man, me and him we locked horns, okay? It's in my book, The Golden A Golden Voice, How Faith, Hard Work, and Humility. My dad and I locked horns. I felt I was too big to not have a key in the house and curfews and all of that. So my father said, either you abide by my rules or get out. And that was my way of saying, see ya. So I swore into the United States Army in November of 1975. I was discharged in 78. Now, that's referred to as Vietnam era. Vietnam is...
Yeah, what was the Vietnam era like?
It was a lot of preparation. We did a lot of bivouac field out in and learned a lot of combat situations. Tracers, midnight fire, gas, drills. it's something to be sleeping in your sleeping bag, and then you hear fellas in the next tent going, gas, gas, and you're reaching for your gas mask, and you forgot where you laid it, or in the middle of your sleep, you're bumping around, and here your drill sergeant just tossed a gas canister in your, oh, man, we were gagging and choking and all. Then we had to go in the gas chamber, take your mask off, and repeat your name, rank, and serial number. I've seen some people come out with puke all over their face and everything, cause that mustard gas is terrible.
Mm.
And, yeah. I learned how to, I was an expert in weapons, I'm an expert in an M16 and a 45. Grenade, I wasn't that good. I was off mark a few, so I'm what you call a marksman in that.
Well, it's very interesting because I learned the other day, because somebody was asking the question on television, what's the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day?
Oh, yeah.
And Veterans Day honors veterans all around, living and dead,
mm-hmm.
and Memorial Day honors veterans who have passed away. That's how it was explained to me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go out to the cemeteries and just honor their loved ones who have passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless, this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So I now that makes sense to me as well. So hats off to our military, both living and deceased.
Well, you know, they protect our right to have free speech and do all the things we've done. And being in communications, that's a big, big thing.
Absolutely.
To be able to have the right to say what you want to say. Now, Ted, being involved in the military, have you ever been critical of any military action taken by a country?
Well, you know, I served in South Korea. I was up by the demilitarized zone. I was in Pyeongtaek, and it's right by the DMZ. And I just couldn't believe that I was that close to North and South Korea, how the differences were in their whole communism and how they treated one another. You know, I'm definitely supported the idea that we were protecting their freedoms, but at the same time, I was like, man, we don't have no business being over here. Let them fight their own battles, you know. And the same thing with the Vietnam situation. A lot of my friends came back. Well, they weren't really my friends. They were a few years older. I think I'm at the cutoff age of baby boomer. You know, I'm 60. I'll be 62 this year. So, yeah, they came back all drug addicts and all kind of, flashbacks. One of my friends, the 4th of July was a nightmare for him. And I just couldn't see it, you know. But I saw it firsthand through him, but I just couldn't understand being around artillery fire and all of that so deep that when you come back and you hear a firecracker blow off, you're ducking in bushes and all.
You know, recently I had a doctor who is located in Marysville, Ohio, and she said one of the biggest troubles right now is brain injury and PTSD for veterans, and it goes undiagnosed.
Yeah.
Because they don't see a doctor about it, and it can be treated.
And you know, a lot of depression is a good. It's a thing that's haunting a lot of our veterans. Depression, you know, becoming homeless. You know, you come back, you've served our country, you've dodged bullets and all kind of things. You know, landmines and the list goes on. Apocalypse Now, my favorite movie, but. And then you come back and you get no acknowledgement, no thank you for your service. You know, we're thanking all of these, Iraqi war veterans and our current veterans, and rightfully so. But they haven't seen anything like Vietnam, you know. We took down Saddam and what was the other guy's name? Osama and all of those guys.
Well, it's interesting because for a long time in this country, when the Vietnam War veterans came back because of all the protests that were going on, there was a lot of anger toward the Vietnam veterans, and there shouldn't have been because a lot of them didn't want to be there at that particular time.
No, leaving their families and doing two or three tours, you know. I don't know.
It's an interesting thing to talk about because I think one of the things that we should do on Memorial Day and Veterans Day is look back at the sacrifices that were made, Christmases and Thanksgivings and holidays and 4th of Julys and birthdays.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Scott, but I wanted to say something. There's a lot of situations going on with our armed forces now where women are being terrorized on these ships, the United States Navy. Now, I'm not singling out the Navy because it goes on through all of our branches of armed forces. But these girls, man, they are criticized, ridiculed, and all of that when they bring attention that their superior officers or even their constituents, their colleagues there in the same enlisted ranks, that if they bring it to the attention of let's say, a company commander or something of that nature, they're like discharged with all kind of bad, you know. Oh, I feel so bad for the women in the military. I really do, you know. And now with the Trump and the transgender situation, you know, it's just awful.
It can be a rough way to go.
Our military is just so wick-whack.
It's a different time, and but I think the message that we certainly want to get out to people today is we thank everybody who ever gave their life absolutely. In any war to make this country free, to help us along the way, because if it hadn't happened many times, other countries would have come and taken over, and we would not have the freedoms that we do today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want a National Guard, our Air National Guard, our Coast Guard, our Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force. You know, now that was kind of interesting how we all looked at each other differently. You know, the Marines were referred to as jarheads and grunts and all of those kind of names, and Air Force got flyboys, and you know.
It is. It's an interesting thing, and I think
surprise, surprise, surprise.
When you were on the air for all those years, what did you used to do to mark Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July?
Well, you know, I believe it or not, I was on the American Forces Korean Network. That was my first taste of radio broadcasting.
Oh,
and I worked. I was running the board actually, and we played. Casey Kasem's Top 40, and every Saturday, and I was running the board, but I would open up every hour for station identification, and give it's in my book again, but every open up, I was a different rank and a different branch. So I was like, you know, at the top of the hour, I was Army Private Ted Williams, and then I was Gunnery Sergeant, Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, and then I was Navy Seaman. I even went as far as I was Admiral Ted Williams, you know, Colonel Ted Williams, and oh man, and you know, the enlisted loved it, you know, loved it, because it was my way of doing a somewhat similar Good Morning Vietnam.
Where did you think that creativity came from? Did you have
rebellious? No. Yeah, I loved radio. Was just something, man, Scott, and I'm sure you as well. You know, once you get a little taste of it, or you're very interested in it, you know, and I'm sure Terry and Sean as well, you just can't get it out of you. And then the personality leads to other other creations. You know, the old man, I was starting to, because again, radio was referred to me or defined to me as theater of mind.
Theater of mind.
And I love that definition, and so I kind of took it there. Because, you know, I tell you what, he's really a sick person. No, I'm just teasing.
Well, you know, the characters are very interesting, and I've never seen anybody totally flush this out. But where did the old man character who we just heard come from there? Was it based on somebody?
Well, it was my grandfather, you know, and speaking of which, I want to say happy Memorial Day to all the fellas that are out there and women who are in their 80s. I want you all to know.
No, that's just a character that my grandfather, he was one of the type of people, man, that if you just asked him one thing like, man, the gas is kind of high today. Oh, don't talk about high. You know, and then you'd be like listening to him for an hour about, you know, the various gas prices. Look at that one. You know, so I said, I'm going to.
Then, of course, you had Shorty.
This guy literally
would talk like this all day long, and I just would be like, hey, Ted.
What do you want? Leave him alone. He's on the telephone.
You know, I just started doing that.
Now, is that character based on anybody? Shorty.
Yes, Shorty. Shorty who is that? A Shorty.
Who is that based on?
He's a gentleman that no longer with us, of course. He, my girlfriend, Kathy, met this guy, Shorty, who was very interested. My girlfriend... She kind of, well, it's no secret, you know, she was a lady of the evening, and she picked up this guy as a, you know, a John, and I was posing, you know, as her brother, and he, you know, my name was Rick, and her name was Chris, so he'd be like, hey, Rick, where's Chris? You know, and he'd say, Chris, I can't tell you enough, I want to see your bosoms, you know, and stuff, and then he'd say, Rick, why doesn't she? I give her hundreds of dollars, and I can't even, you know.
And so I just developed his character.
So this all comes from real life.
Real life, yeah.
Now, when you slip into one of those characters, because I've heard many people say this, even the late Edgar Bergen, who did so many characters,
I love Charlie McCarthy.
Now, is it really, in your mind, can they say things that you wouldn't say?
Absolutely. And yeah. I tell you why. The old man will leave him alone. You know, some of these people, I just want you to know, come out at any given time. Sometimes I say things and then have to
remind yourself, you know, don't pay him no mind.
You know, that kind of thing. I've said things to Kathy like, nobody likes you.
Oh, don't do that. You're hurting her feelings, you know.
And then I got to make her feel a little better, you know.
So there's no stream of consciousness with this. It just comes.
It just blurts out.
Well, that's good,
I do it
though.
With David. That's my very dear friend, David. Speaking of which, I'd like to take an opportunity, if you don't mind,
to introduce
David. David, why don't you come over here by a seat? And David, as we all know, is with the NECAN organization. This is not a plug for NECAN, but it's a plug for Dave. He is a muscle activation therapist, not to be confused with massage therapy, but he's a muscle activation therapist. David Jones, welcome on this Memorial Day to WWGH Table.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate it. And happy Memorial Day to everybody here. And I appreciate you giving the shout out. My father was in the Navy, so
all right,
yeah. So he did a tour in the Navy, and then continued working for the government as a mailman for 32 years in Newark, Ohio.
Wow,
where I was born and raised.
It's a big sacrifice.
Yes.
Now, you were talking earlier on about something called barley grass.
Yeah. Well, barley grass is, I mean, there's a bunch of different new companies that have nutritional products that they may or may not have a barley grass product. The one that I take is called Jade, like the shade of green, Jade Greenzymes, as in green enzymes. It's from a company, this NECAN company that Ted mentioned. I've worked in health, fitness, and wellness for 31 years now. I started in May of 1988, and 15 of those years as a personal trainer. And I had a trainer that I worked with. He came up to me and said, I know how much you love learning about the human body. I'm going to share something with you that I think you'll get really excited about. And he shared this company called NECAN. And to be honest, Scott, the more I learned about this company, the more excited I got. Because I've and when you work in health and fitness that long, you see all the different fads and trends. They come and go, and all the gadgets and gizmos that, you know, put this on your body and you'll have a six-pack by tomorrow morning, and all the gadgets and gizmos that there was infomercials about and promised to do amazing things for the body. I've seen all those things come and go in 31 years, and I've never seen anything impact the human body like NECAN does.
Why is that?
Well, to get the body as healthy as God created the human body to heal itself. So when we're trying to get healthy or we're dealing with health challenges, there's no drug or no person in the world that can heal you. The body was actually created to heal itself. What NECAN does that's so different is when we're talking about healing yourself, every one of us, the physical body that you live in and Ted lives in and the physical body that I live in is a collection of trillions of cells. And just to stay alive and function, every one of those cells, whether it's a bone cell, a nerve cell, a blood cell, a skin cell, every one of those cells has to get five things to stay alive and do their job. And they happen to be the five elements of nature: air, water, food, sleep for recovery and repair. And number five is natural energy, the energy of the earth, which is magnetism. You know, it's a north pole and a south pole, and our cells have protons and electrons, and then the energy of the sun. If cells don't get any one of those five things, they break down and die. And NECAN actually is the only company in the world that's addressing all those elements of nature. They got products that get our body back in touch with nature, what we were meant to feed off of.
And I'll tell you one little quick little injection, if I could. Water is very important. I don't drink enough of it. I have to have Kool-Aid or something sweet in my water. I don't care where I'm at in the country or whatever. Water just doesn't do it, and neither do these bottled waters. I like sweet and all of that. I'll say NECAN has a filtering system, and one of their water bottles, which I'll let David continue with his presentation here, but I can drink NECAN, and it's just regular water that you pour into this bottle that filters into those elements that he spoke about, and it's the most comforting water. With your throat, it doesn't have a
You know, you don't do one of those numbers when you're trying to chug it down. It's the smoothest. David, how is that possible with that filtering system?
Well, that was an interesting testimonial when I first, I was talking to Ted. He kept asking me about this water bottle that I carry around with me. I call it my adult sippy cup. Because yeah. Ted's right. It's not a coincidence that the earth and the human body are both 70% water. And so, you know, all the different parts of our body are are mostly water. And he was telling me that for him to drink water, it's got to have Crystal Light in it or Kool-Aid or some kind of flavoring for him to even get it down. But Neken doesn't make water. They make a water bottle and a countertop system that can be filled with any kind of water. Even that, there's a...
Flint, Michigan water. You can pour that in.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well,
even worse than that, when you go to Mexico, they say you don't want to put any of that water in your system because it makes you sick to your stomach. They call it Montezuma's Revenge. That's because there's parasites in it. Even like a little bit, like you're brushing your teeth and a little bit gets in your mouth, it can make you sick. There's a couple, husband and wife in Cincinnati. The husband's a doctor. And I knew their sister. So that's how I met the wife of this couple, is through her sister, which was a friend of mine. They were going to Mexico. And I said, rather than doing bottled water after bottled water to avoid that nasty water in Mexico, get two of these water bottles. So they ordered two of the water bottles from Neken. They filled it up with that nasty Mexico water. Neither one of them got sick. Because on the inside of the cap, there's a little filter that's about $20 to replace, but it filters equal to or better than a kidney dialysis machine. So it takes all the nastiness out. But what makes this water so good is there's other systems and other bottles out there that claim to remove some of the nastiness of water. But after the filter takes out the bad stuff, there are two positive things that get done to this water. That's why it's called the living water. It actually gives you energy. One is the water goes through on the inside of the bottle, there's little magnets. So the water is getting that magnetic energy of the earth. When you run water through a magnetic field, I don't know if you knew this or not, Scott, that's nature's form of a water softener. The most natural form of a water softener is running water through a magnetic field.
Now, why is this not widely known to people who might need this?
Neken, they believe that instead of spending millions of dollars and coming on radio or TV and spending those dollars and then having their product on store shelves, hoping that you or some of the listeners would run to the store and buy it, they would rather put that money in the pockets of the people that are actually out there sharing it with people. Like myself, I've shared it with Ted, and here's a guy who hated water or had to flavor it who now loves water.
Because I cannot wait to become informed as David, well, probably not as much as, but I can't wait to speak on one of these things. Now, he also has sleeping systems, and he was just sharing with Terry over here, or is it Sean? About the insoles, and I mean, it's just the sleeping systems itself. He wears a magnet, and he has all kind of tests, or you know, that he could perform on you to prove points. There's one particular one. Tell him about the one with the heart, where you put something unnatural.
It's something that's very real, but a lot of people have not heard about. It's called applied kinesiology. It's a type of energy testing or muscle testing, and anybody can do it. They can learn to do it themselves. You don't have to take any certain courses or get a certification or a license. And it's more relevant now, Sean or Scott, than ever before, because you know, nutrition stores are popping up all over the place. Whether it's, you know, get it through Amazon or in a GNC, Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World. So there's a lot of companies that are making nutritional supplements. How do you know, like you walk in a GNC or a vitamin shop and there's 400 products on the shelves. How do you know if any of those products are any good for you? What Ted was alluding to is you can take any one of those products. It could be a big plastic tub of protein powder. Take that product off of the shelf, hold it against your chest, just slightly left of the sternum where your heart is. Take your other arm and hold it straight out to the side. Have somebody count to three and push down on your arm that's straight out to the side. If your arm goes down, that your body is telling you that product is junk. Because when you aligned it with your heart, it made you test weak. If your arm doesn't go down, when the person, and just takes light pressure, you're not cranking with everything you've got. If when that person pushes on your arm, if your arm doesn't budge, and when they stop pushing, your arm actually kicks up, It's like when you go to the doctor and they take that little hammer and tap your knees and you got that reflex. It's a neurological response.
I thought that was amazing.
If your arm doesn't go down and it kicks up, your body is saying, is giving that product a thumbs up, because when you aligned it with your heart, it made you test strong.
That's very interesting to learn. And I think, you know, health right now in this country is an interesting thing. I notice more people at the gyms than ever before, but I'm not sure if they're healthier than they were before. I hear that the death rate is actually, death age is going down rather than up. And for a long time, it was on the upswing.
That's an excellent point, Scott. And a big part of that is 35 years ago, if you wanted to get a lot healthier, you ate a better diet, you know, ate your fruits and vegetables, not your Twinkies and cupcakes and ho-hos.
No, I want them.
There's a reason the shelf life of a Twinkie is 27 years.
That is true. That is true.
30 years ago, if you wanted to get healthier, you just, you know, started exercising. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean join the gym. You could just start walking, go for a jog, do some sit-ups, jump rope. But back 30 years ago, eating healthier and exercising was enough to make significant changes. Nowadays, to your point, it's like, you know, gyms are popping up all over the place, but we're not getting any healthier because our environment has become a lot more toxic. And technology keeps advancing, but we're not advancing how our body deals with technology. And there's a book that I just ordered the other day through Half Price Books. It's called Cross Currents. And it talks about the negative impact on our body from all the EMFs. You know, when you see little 5 and 6 year old kids walking around playing on a $500 smartphone, we got smartphones, we got Wi-Fi. We're listening to music on iPods. We got iPads, laptops, desktops. If you have kids in your home, you probably have a video game station. All of those devices put out EMFs, which is electromagnetic frequencies, that negatively, and this book is all about how that negatively impacts the body. So, and to that point, they're now saying the organization, Healthy Child, Healthy World, there's a video they have on YouTube that shows that every child currently born in the U.S., the moment that child comes out of their mother's body, that innocent little child with no immune system, their body is entering the world with almost 300 toxic chemicals running through its veins.
Mm.
Well, that's interesting. I've always said all these electronic devices, the long-term studies have not been done. Mm-hmm. And give it about 10 or 15 years and people are going to find out what they were doing to themselves. You know, when people started smoking, when people started drinking, when people started doing all this, people got to understand there was no Surgeon General warning back in those days.
Right.
It took years and years of doing it and then cancers to develop and diseases to develop. And then wait a second, it's no good for you. There's, you know, for years I remember people saying, well, you can't sit too close to the television, it'll hurt your eyes. Or don't walk in front of the microwave, it could do something. Now you got something attached to your head constantly.
Yeah, the Bluetooth.
And people think, well, that's not going to meet, that won't do anything. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The reaction time to me seems a little different. What do you think, Terry?
I think you're exactly right. I've heard that same thing, you know, a lot growing up too. It was pretty much the same. And I think now that the studies are starting to come true on some of these.
It certainly is coming around.
Yeah.
Now, Ted, we all remember recently you were on the Dr. Oz show, a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the experience there.
Well, Dr. Oz, for the life of me, we were talking about, I was giving him an update, and he blessed me to be on the show twice, actually. And you took me to the airport, David, on the second. I was diagnosed as having high blood pressure. Of course, it affects many men of color and various age groups, high blood pressure. And it has a lot to do with your diet. I'm eating some delicious Lee's great recipe chicken here next to the station. Good chicken. I love fried chicken. I love fried potatoes and all of those things. But, of course, I've never, ever had what I would think high blood pressure symptoms. You know, I don't know what headaches or nosebleeds or whatever accompanies having high blood pressure, nor have I ever been diagnosed as having it. So it would take a television doctor to put me throw me under the bus in front of millions of Americans. But it was quite an experience because some of the things that he was telling me are starting to kind of flare up a little bit, Scott. You know, I'm not a person, a hypochondriac type person. Whatever bothers me, I keep it to myself. Or, you know, like right earlier, I was sleeping in Dave's vehicle, and I had a very sharp pain just run right through my head. And I don't have headaches and colds and all of those things. But I didn't want to say, hey, Dave, I just had like a, you know, I think of the word aneurysms and all of those things. But I'm starting to feel, you know, I couldn't attribute it. And ulcers, I've developed somewhat of an ulcer, Scott, as of recent. And so, you know, I start getting a little antsy, or Dave likes to call me ADDD. What is it, Dave? What is it?
ADD or ADHD?
ADHD,
yeah. I got some of that kind of problem going on. But and that's only because of sobriety, I think. You know, I used to medicate all the time, you know, when I'd get all that no patience and I can't sit still. And, you know, I go from one topic to the other and no complete sentences and all those things. I attribute it to my drug addiction.
Well, people want to know, and as of May of 2019, how are you doing? We hear things like that, but how are you doing in general?
Overall, I'm okay. You know, I'm very blessed. Very blessed. I have friends like you, Scott, and Terry, and Sean, and David, and I have some immediate families. I'm having great times, you know. I was a little distraught over the fact that my mother's been dead 3 years, and I was duped into signing she had a will, and I was duped by a lawyer, Robert Witherwax. I was duped into signing a paper to putting that will into probate, unbeknownst to me, because anyway, it's going to be settled here within days. And after 3 years, my mother doesn't even have a headstone. So it's things like that surface in my thought patterns and the course of a day that distract me from the order of things, like coming to the Scott Spears Show. Then I got a woman who has been there for me from day one. We've got a 30-year relationship. You know, we're not married legally, but she seems to want to believe, and that's her story, and she's sticking to it, that we are common law married. But here she has been with me for a long time, and now her health is just failing, you know, and I'm watching a 58-year-old, am I right? 58-year-old woman who is right now, for all intents and purposes, living like a 80-year-old convalescing woman. You know, she coughs, and, oh, it just kills me. She's on dialysis. Anybody in the medical profession, she had a CABG, if you know what that is. But it boils down to a triple bypass heart surgery. And, you know, she doesn't walk well now, but that surfaces. And then I got desecration of the dead, my mother. That's how I feel, that these I got relatives who are so color struck. You know, they're one of those, I might as well read my book here, but they're color struck. I got relatives who are light, bright, and damn near white, and believe me, want to pass for white, but they're black. You know, they're Negro, they're colored, or whatever you want to call them. But they want to pass for white, and that's the way their lives have been in growing up with this family. So we're all disconnected. So I come from a very dysfunctional family. So they were the ones that were kind of creating this, let's hold the money, maybe he'll die. And because the will states that if I die before they do, they get my portion of the money, of the sale of the property that my mother left to six people. So here we are, six people waiting for the division of $212,000, I believe it's sold for, in Brooklyn, New York. Who would think that property in Brooklyn, in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, would sell for $200,000? But, they duped me into that. And, you know, being homeless for 20 years, like my attorney, Brett Adams, you know, he duped me too. You know, I've been out of the marketplace, I've been out of the professional areas, I've been out of banking situations and all, and then all of a sudden, 2011, I'm thrusted into over $500,000, movie deals, contract deals, sign this, sign that, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, you know. I'd like to say once and for all, I'm not a celebrity, and I'm not famous. I'm popular.
There you go. Popular.
Yeah, I'm
that's
popular,
a good word.
You know, so that's my new word. You know, people say, oh, my God, you're so famous and this, that, and the other. And, and don't get me wrong. I'm very grateful for the adulation and all of that great stuff. You know, but it's taking me a little longer to get acclimated to this situation than what I thought. I thought I was going to be able to, you know, send emails and familiarize myself with the Twitters and, you know, Instagrams and all of these things. And I'm just now still getting good on YouTube.
When people come up to you today in 2019, what, 8 years after this all happened, what is, when they meet you, what do they say? What's the most common thing they come up to you and say?
Oh, my God, you are such a such a great person. I tell you what, they say more of what other people have said because I have to be, and I'm surprised Dave is not saying, stop talking with your mouth full. But I get a lot of shared situations where people share comments so phenomenal. You're an inspiration. You're a good guy. My daughter met you the other day. You know, and just recently somebody said, he gave me I autographed my little caricature pictures, and just for the sake of giving away gift cards to homeless men and women. But this man said he was so happy to meet me because I left a very big impression on his daughter by my kindness and the time that I spent with her. I tell people all the time, you know, churches and church groups always talk about tithing. And I think people get that the tithing part a little mixed up with money all the time. Sometime a kind word is a form of tithing. Sometimes a gesture of help. It doesn't always have to be money, but it could be your time spent with a person. It could be 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. That's a form of tithing, and that's a form of us helping one another. You know, sometimes there's, you never know what's on a person's mind from time to time, you know? And for you to go up and be evil towards them, and then you wonder why they'll scream something at you, or they're homeless, they've been homeless for 20 years, and here you think you're better than them and all that. Please, let's get that all out of it. You know, tithe today. Smile at someone. Even if, it, you know, I you know what I get a kick out of? There was three girls the other day, and the two girls ran up to me. Hi, you're the golden voice. Oh, can I take a picture? You know, and I obliged them, of course. But the girl that stood back looked like a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles. But no, she was a huge girl, right? And she stood to the far corner of the area thinking that I may have not even looked at her. And so after we photographed with the two girls who looked like they, you know, size 14 girls or whatever, and the other girl was about a 18 or a 20, I walked over to her. I said, y'all take a picture with me and her. And I walked over and we hugged. And my God, after I turned around just to see what she was doing, she felt just as chirpy as they did. You know, she didn't tag behind them. And that's a dislike of mine, you know, a pet peeve of mine. I hate to see someone make a, you know, that kind of thing, because beauty is skin deep. It ain't the size or whatever. So these girls were just like bringing her along. She probably was the finance person of the group, you know, or something. But I went over and we took one of these pictures like you do at a prom. And
that's
she,
good.
Yeah, I love that.
Kindness. Now, I do want to remind people, we're going to be heading over to Blue Fusion here around 3 o'clock. We've got one more hour on the air. This is just the big pre-show to the big Bolarama.
Bolarama.
So you got to stay tuned. Bolarama number one, the first annual Bolarama. Will it be Ted, the man with the golden voice, or Weasel Boy? We're going to find out over
I
at Blue
pity
Fusion.
Weasel.
Oh, it's coming up. It's going to be so hot. Now, Ted, before we break up this hour and come back next hour, do your sign-off. Your sign-off's so great.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of our service mission. Until we return to burn later on this hour, okay? Brother man, sister too, if you can, be nice to someone short. Because you never know when someone short has to be nice to you. We're going to make way for the next DJ, which happens to be Weasel. So in the meantime, between time, you have a good one.
We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Legendary stand-up comedian Marty Allen.
Yeah, like physically